In the 70s, there were almost no women in the General Assembly. By the 80s and 90s, the proportions increased up to 20 to 25% of both chambers, the era that term limits took effect. It changed, but it didn't really have any trend that you could see to it. Even today, there's not much of a trend you can see to it. Term limits kind of argued that the reason why the numbers of women would increase is because the opportunities would increase, more vacant seats. They assumed that the number of electable women waiting in the wings was quite large. Probably not the case. However, in the Senate, at the end of the last decade, that really was the case. Number of female senators was highest that it's ever been. Long-serving male senators were forced to exit. There were a significant number of women in the House, especially, who are well-positioned, both in terms of their connections to their community and in terms of their knowledge of the legislative process, to move to the Senate, and they did so. That may be a temporary sort of an aberration. I think it probably is, but it's certainly one you can say this is a place where term limits did what its advocates argued it would.
In that it provided at least more opportunities.
More opportunities, and in this case, there were more opportunities. There happened to be more women who were in a position to take advantage of it.
There have been several bills and several resolutions in recent years that would tweak term limits, so to speak, that would allow, say, a House member to spend 16 years in the House, or say 12 years in the Senate, 4 in the House, or some mixture of that. What type of effect do you think tweaking would have as far as term limits?
Tweaking can have a positive effect, may not have the effect that sponsors want. The problem with term limits today is that it lops off the group of people who have just been there long enough to learn to be the kinds of people who know enough about the state government, about the legislative process, to really be effective and to be leaders. So we're lopping off our best potential leaders. And we're also forcing less experienced people, if they wish to be, to immediately drive towards leadership positions. Many of them don't have the knowledge and experience required to be good legislative leaders.
Is there anything else regarding your study that we have not covered that you want to throw in?
One other thing that's was not raised by term limit supporters, they desire to get rid of career politicians. And in fact, what we find is they did do that. And what we see is more second career people, especially in the House, somebody who retires early from whatever career they had. And they think, oh, well, this is only 8 years, I can do this, so I will do it. So there's a lot of that. There's also more people running at an earlier age. Not only is it a second career, it's a first career more than it's been in the past. In the pre-term limits era, when you got elected to the Senate, you stayed there. Some people ran for higher office, but you didn't resign to take a job as a lobbyist or resign to go back into the private sector. You stayed there. And you stayed there because there was rewarding, a lot of prestige, not a lot of money, but a lot of value for the individual associated with it. Now what we see is people know they can't stay, and many of them say, well, this is a good place to start. I'll run for the Senate if I get elected. I'll serve my 8 years, and then I'll go on and do something else. Build from that.